The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
Amen. Good morning. In our first service, one of our friends said, you know, I really love Fifth Sundays. And it's great to have the children here today. I'll take an amen any way we can get it. Amen. And we hope and pray that you'll be blessed. I think we have been blessed. I'm glad I came to church today. I apologize because we had three people get baptized in the first service, and we didn't have time to show you their videos. And then four in this service. And God is doing amazing things in people's lives, so everything's a little different today. Don't get scared, it's all right. Thank you. Dear Father, we thank you for the privilege of supporting ministries like Run for the Sun. Father, what a blessing it is to celebrate with the work that these men and women are doing. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of those who have come to faith in you that we got to celebrate with this morning. Thank you, Lord, that all of this is for your glory alone. And thank you, Lord, that even the angels in heaven rejoice when just one sinner repents and takes Jesus as Savior and is gloriously transformed. So, Father, we ask that you'll bless these gifts. Help us, Lord, to invest them wisely in your kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, a funny thing happened. I found my bathing suit in the back room. I didn't know where it was from the last baptism we had. So that was pretty funny, actually. I've been looking, where was that? We look around the world today and anytime, and I have to admit that sometimes it's hard. We live in hard days, don't we? We see injustice, we see violence, we see the effects of sin all around us. And what are we supposed to do? What can we do? Well, this is what Nehemiah did. Now, Nehemiah is the second shortest man in the Bible. I think you probably knew this. He's Nehemiah, right? The shortest is Bildad the Shuhite. Okay, just so you know, all right? But Nehemiah worked as a cupbearer for a pagan king, and he may have never even visited Israel, but he still identified with the God of Israel, and whatever he was taught, he knew about God, and he is in the citadel of Susa. And he says that Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." They have been back in the land for 90 years, and this is still their situation. Nehemiah did what we need to do. He prayed. He prayed. You say, what can I do? I see all this going on around me. What can I do? You can pray. That's what Nehemiah did. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. When's the last time you wept? When's the last time the effects of sin and sadness and grief just brought you to tears? You just couldn't help yourself. You had to lament. And it's okay to lament. In fact, it's healthy. But he didn't just weep. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He ran to God. So, he begins his prayer by rehearsing some of the truth he knows about God. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. It's a good way to begin prayer, by just remembering who you're praying to. Amen. That he's the God of heaven. That you would take time to worship him. You say, but I got a long list. I know. We'll get to that. But here we are, just revering God. We've been doing that already this morning. Just worshiping God. Then he confesses, which is kind of interesting. I confess, which means to say the same thing as. It's to agree with God. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Please note, as he confesses, he just doesn't say, all these other fools. He says, no, we. And me and my family. There's much sin to confess. To agree with God about. And Nehemiah takes time in his prayer. After he is adoring God, he's now confessing his sins. Then he goes into a season of thanksgiving where he's going to remember God's word. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But, isn't but the most beautiful word in the scripture? I mean, whenever it shows up, it's just so precious because it's going to give me a contrast. Yeah, they've been scattered all over. They had only been back in the land for 90 years after they had been scattered. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Wow! He's just remembering the promises of God, and he's giving thanks to God. So he started by adoring God, then he's confessing, now he's giving thanks, and finally, he gets to his requests. And he only has one. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. That's the king. That's the king who opposed Israel. That's the king who he would go before and he just kind of let his face go down just a bit. And the king says, what's wrong, Nehemiah? And he gets to tell him the story. And the king not only releases him and lets him go back to Jerusalem, he finances the whole thing. And in 52 days, they rebuilt the wall. Not to mention all the revival that happened spiritually in the nation. One simple request. When I was in seminary, we had a pastor visit from South Korea. South Korea has some of the strongest churches that believe the gospel in all the world. And when he came, he says, you Americans, I don't understand you people. He says, you know, you spend 5% of your time in prayer adoring God, and then 95% of your time asking requests. He says, in Korea, we spend, and they have prayer meetings at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and they're well attended. He says, we spend 95% of our time praising God for who he is, and then 5% of our time asking requests, because by the time we're done praising him, we believe he can actually answer those requests. We're going to give you a pattern today. It's going to be a little different today. Ed's going to lead us. Jeff's going to come up and share. And I was only given 4 minutes, and I probably went over by a minute or so. But that's why I took my watch off, so I wouldn't know. Let's proceed as we pray together. Thank you, children, for being here. God hears the prayers of children as well as adults and students. Hallelujah.
Because we're going to pray today. We're going to guide you through it. If you haven't done it, don't get too nervous. We're going to guide you through everything. And we're going to go through exactly what Rick just talked about. Adoration. Confession, thanksgiving, supplication. As we begin our time of adoration.
Isaiah 55, starting in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely forgive. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Now we're going to move into supplication.
Isaiah 55, 12 and 13. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all of the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. So as you lift up your requests and your wounded heart and the things that you want to bring before the Lord, bring your requests to him now.
Ed was like, hey, you should talk about confession. So here's a list of what I'm going to confess to you. No, confession, it can feel weird going into it, especially if we're not used to it. And there's sometimes even baggage around the name confession or the word confession. So I want to talk a little bit about what it is to help set our hearts and our spirits in the right place as we come to the Lord in the next few moments. So I want to read for you 1 John 1:9, which is a great promise that comes with confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is the promise that comes with confession. He is faithful and just. And here's how he's just. He doesn't shrug our sin off. He doesn't just kind of give it a wink and a nod and like, it's okay. Jesus came to earth, lived the life we couldn't live, died the death we should have died,
yes,
rose again, and has ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he's interceding for us even right now. That is what it took to overcome the penalty for our sin. But because Jesus took it on the cross, because he became a propitiation for us, we use that term as a way of appeasing the wrath that would come from our sin. He is just to forgive us. He is not sacrificing his holiness to do that. And he is faithful to do it. In his character, it's who he is. So he is faithful and he is just. So what is confession as we move into these next few moments? It is not just saying, oh, I'm a worm, I'm dirt, here's all the bad things I've done. There is a level where we acknowledge that the evil desires of our heart, that we acknowledge our sin. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, it says that our evil desires in our heart, they lead us astray. And those evil desires, when they've conceived, they give birth to sin. And then sin gives way to death. And so for so many of us, our sin even starts with the desire, some kind of evil desire that has crept into our heart. You hear a lot in the world, just follow your heart. Don't. Your heart will deceive you. Your heart is a master at deceiving you. You lie to you more than anyone else lies to you. So our hearts can be so deceptive. And the way that this happens is we start to believe a lie about God. We question a truth about God. And there's some ways that this can play out. We might feel like, God, I don't know, I don't believe you, or I doubt that you love me. And that gives way to this evil desire that I have to earn your love. And so I can become so legalistic and so pharisaical and so works-based, and then that starts to grow, and I start to become proud, and then I start to look down on other people because they're not putting in the work like I am. And I try to make myself shine and all shiny on the outside. And even if that means lying, that's okay because it's the facade. It's amazing how that one little lie can lead to sin. Maybe it's, I don't believe that you're really going to provide. And so because of that, I've got to hoard and I've got to be greedy. And I've got to undercut other people if that's what it takes because I don't know that God's going to provide for me. I don't believe that you're good. Because I don't believe that you're good, I'm unhappy with the way that you've made me. So I'm going to set myself up as God of my life. Maybe I don't really believe that God's in control. And I worry about the future and I let anxiety reign. And I feel like if I can just know what's going on in the world, then that will make it better. And so I spend time watching 24-hour news networks that just peddle anxiety like candy. Because I feel like if I can know those things, then I can help make a difference because I don't really believe that God is in control. And then I start to believe that I know how to fix the world and anyone that disagrees with me is subhuman. We have to address the lies that lead to the desires. We have to address the desires that lead to the sin. And sometimes we have to address the sin itself. And so my encouragement for you in this next few moments is to know that as you confess, and you're going to do this on your own, just there, you and the Lord, confessing those desires, confessing those sins, bringing those to the Lord. It's more than just listing what's wrong. It's deciding, I agree with you, God. I've been in confessing, I'm saying, I trust your promises more than I trust my heart. When you promise that when I confess my sins that you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness, I am going to believe that over the lies that I tell myself. I'm going to lean on that truth. I help my heart to realign with the truth of who you are, God, as I confess my sins to you and we drag those out into the light Sometimes it's between you and God. Sometimes you need to confess that with somebody else. We don't want to leave our sin in the darkness. Darkness is, that's home court advantage for sin. We need to drag it out into the light, expose it to the truth, to God's righteousness, sometimes in community with others, so that we can defeat it. Because we have been promised that Christ died to free us from sin. So confession is not just woe is me. Confession is I declare freedom over this. Confession is I am free from this sin because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's the importance of confession. And to help to paint a little picture for that, and those little packets that you got, you may have already forgotten that you were handed a packet. If you weren't handed a packet, I think we may have ran out. We were really low. Praise God that so many people are here that all the packets are gone. But in that little packet is a stick. Ed will explain the rest of the little packet to you in a moment. But I want to encourage you to take this little stick. It symbolizes something. And I want you to put this somewhere where you almost forget about it. Whether that's in your purse, in your wallet, in your workout bag. If it's in your cup holder at an angle so you can't get your coffee cup in there the right way. Put it somewhere where you're going to be reminded of this as a reminder to take your sin out, expose it to the light. It doesn't fit. For the Christian, for someone who's put their faith in Jesus, even for people who haven't, sin doesn't fit in our lives. It takes over. We can't treat it like a pet. Right? We have to address it for what it is. So put it somewhere where it doesn't belong, and you'll almost forget about it, and you'll be reminded, I need to pray about this today. If I examine my heart for the lies that I'm starting to believe about God and His world, do I need to confess something to Jesus? Quite literally, because it's a stick, do I need to get the log out of my own eye so I can address the speck in my brother's? So I want to encourage you to take this stick and do that. But over these next few moments, spend 4 minutes. You have 4 minutes, just you and the Lord, to confess, to declare freedom over the sins that have been creeping up in your heart and maybe even playing out in your life. So go ahead and take those 4 minutes now. Thank you. as we move forward to our next model for prayer for Thanksgiving, you've probably already been peppering that in to your other areas, right? When we're adoring God, we're thanking Him for who He is.
Yes.
When we're praying with supplication, we're thanking God for knowing our needs better than we know them and for providing. When we confess, we are thanking God for His promises and His mercy and His grace. And so we're going to move on with some moments of thanksgiving. Before we close out, I want to read for you Psalm 118, some select verses from that. Psalm 118:1 will be up here on the screen for you to just continue to reference as we read this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever.
Yes.
The psalm goes on to say, let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. And the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look and triumph on those who hate me. Yes. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes.
Yes.
Skipping forward a few verses. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
Yeah.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Let's take a few moments, 3 minutes, thinking about that psalm and being in distress and still turning to God and thanking Him for His work there. So take 3 minutes and thank God for who He is.
Amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.